May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Well, are we there yet? How many more sleeps till Christmas? It's not just children who begin to ask this question about now. Because for adults for whom Christmas is a magical time of wonder also join in the anticipation of all that's to come. But of course there's others who just can't wait for it to be over. Whichever category we might put ourselves into, I think we're often in far too much of a hurry to get to Christmas. We don't spend quite enough time on Advent. Since the 5th century, this four-week period leading up to Christmas has been kept as such as Advent. It derives from a Latin root, Adventus, which means coming or arrival. For a long time, it was a penitential period, with fasting on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And we still have something of this penitential feel in our Eucharistic liturgy. We dispense with the Gloria in Excelsis. In many churches, there's no baptisms or weddings. And of course, we deny ourselves the beauty of flowers in the cathedral. And just as we have the calendar year and the academic year and the financial year, so we also have a church year. And that begins today, Advent Sunday. It begins today because during Advent, the focus is on the coming of Christ in two ways. First, in the incarnation as a baby boy, Jesus, the son of Mary. And secondly, and perhaps less obviously, the return, the second Adventus, when Christ will return in glory at the end of time. And these two themes, the incarnation of Christ and the second coming of Christ, are writ large for us as the next weeks unfold. We remember all the prophets said about Messiah. We remember the forerunner of Jesus, John the Baptist. We hear again God's request to the young woman and to the young Joseph to whom she was betrothed, that they might trust God with his plan for the salvation of the world and all creation. Advent really matters. It matters quite a lot. Yes, it's about preparing for the birth of a baby, but it's also about preparing for the glory which belongs to the Christ who was incarnate in Jesus and who will return again. A small baby born 2,000 years ago in an anonymous stable, even when accompanied by singing angels and wandering shepherds, didn't and doesn't change the world. A baby, though, who grew to be a man, and a man who was and is the chosen one of God, the Messiah, did and does change the world. And the vehicle of that change is human beings, you and me, as we encounter and are changed ourselves by the baby who was born to be our king. Babies are lovely, aren't they? They're small and helpless and harmless, and unless we are their parents, they really make no demands on us. They just don't get in the way. But on the other hand, a grown man with challenging things to say, whose life and ways are such that our lives and ways are brought into the brightness of God's glory, this kind of man really does get in the way. When we learn about Jesus, when we encounter the risen Christ for ourselves, things are never the same. Jesus really does get in our way. It's wonderful that he does, because when he gets in our way, he shapes our way to be like his way, the way of truth and light. Advent, therefore, is a time of preparation. Preparation for light and dark to meet. And whenever that happens, it's disturbing. We know what it's like to walk from darkness into light. It hurts our eyes. It's uncomfortable. We squint and try to avoid it. But also, too, we try and avoid the terror of darkness as we avoid the great light of splendor, because they're both frightening They're both terrible. And this is what confronts us throughout Advent. The terror and the splendor of God come very close. From within Isaiah's description of some of this, we heard in the first lesson, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look upon the earth beneath. The heavens shall vanish away like smoke, the earth shall wax like an old garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, my righteousness shall not be abolished." Not only Isaiah, but all the prophets speak of the day of salvation and of a time of judgment. And the Christians in Rome were being reminded of this important concept, and they're in need to be alert. When St. Paul wrote, "Now is the time to awake out of sleep. Let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light." There are things which need to happen. In those last days before the new kingdom is established, when Christ shall return, things need to happen. Throughout Advent, as always, but particularly focused in Advent, we remember that Jesus was born so that he would die. He rose and ascended so that Christ might reign. And the belief that Christ will return is not an optional extra for Christians. We declare our belief that Christ will return each time we say our creed. How we each understand that may be different, but this is what we say: Christ will come again. Advent's the human time of preparation, for us just 4 weeks. But for all those who waited for the coming of the Messiah, Advent took generations and generations. If we were to take Advent out of our Bibles, we would lose half the Old Testament and most of the New. By contrast, if we were to take Christmas out of the Bible, we'd lose just 3 chapters. So we do well to pay attention to Advent, for if we get Advent right, we have the greatest chance to get Christmas right. If we get Advent right, we'll gain a deeper understanding of the person of Jesus Christ. Understand more of the focus of the light come into the world, a greater glimpse of the power of the incarnation, and that searing, costly movement of God to join humanity in order to show us how to live. Throughout Advent, our scriptures and our liturgical drama take us to where hopes are uttered and fears given expression. And that's our experience, isn't it? Hope and fear often walk hand in hand. So I wonder whether 3 focuses of Advent may help us to enter more into it. The first is the importance of repentance. Advent encourages us to acknowledge that our present reality is but a whisper away from the terror and splendor of God. That splendor which, with the prophets, sets the earth shaking and causes us to voice both our sorrow at wrongdoing and our hope in forgiveness. In addition to repentance, we declare that Christ will come again. This is pure imagery, but it is not imagination, for it will happen. Preparing for Christmas and the first appearance of the Lord among us helps us to prepare for that other appearing, at which there'll be no division between then and now. The time to awake out of sleep is upon us. And the third aspect of Advent is hope in the darkest places, in the dark night of the soul. Hope when the world is blowing itself apart. Hope in the most dire of situations. Hope when all else appears lost. This kind of fierce and outrageous hope is just what we and our world need. We have commercialism, we have plenty, we have celebrations of a cozier, trivia-wrapped Christmas, but these things change nothing. What changes everything is the story of heaven opened, of God's glory revealed. And we participate in this as we come before God in repentance, as we acknowledge our need of grace, as we look for the signs of God's kingdom, justice and peace, as we take part in that work. So we participate in this, in the outrageous hope that love and light will conquer hate and darkness. Together we're waiting for that final unveiling of God's majesty and love. Christmas is cozy. Advent is not. Advent demands that we keep alert, be aware, that we awake out of sleep. So as we travel through Advent with our brothers and sisters in all parts of the church, may we all know something of the hope available to each of us. May we have the grace to take the risk to encounter God's majesty. And therefore, come to Christmas celebrating the one who could not be contained, the one in whom all our hopes rest, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Let us offer to God the needs of our world for peace. Let us offer to God the needs of the world's leaders for wisdom and courage. Let us offer to God the needs of those who long for wholeness. Let us offer to God the needs of those who need comfort. And let us offer to God our own needs, forgiveness and life. Almighty God, purify our hearts and minds, that when your Son, Jesus Christ, comes again as Judge and Savior, we may be ready to receive him who is our Lord and our God, now and forever. Amen. Amen.